Well, I stood stone like at midnight, suspended in my masquerade, and I combed my hair that was just right, and commanded the night brigade.
Hey, back on Downtown. Time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us as always. Good afternoon, sir.
Hello, everyone. I hope everyone's bracing.
Yes.
And the other things that we do.
Bracing, hunkering, and I add the third one, whining.
Whining? Well, hopefully it's the one without the H.
That's the one.
And I do apologize if everybody heard me telling my son to come get my dog, but she was just given a new squeaky toy as a present, a late Christmas present, and then she came and sat right next to me and started squeaking at him. Good time. Oh, my gory. So listen, check this out. Before we get into whining, as it were. All right, here's my thought. Here's my Bill Belichick thought.
All right, I'm ready.
Wink Martindale, defensive coordinator of the Giants, resigned. Now, assuming, of course, I know that everybody says Belichick's a history student of the game, yada, yada, yada. His favorite play, according to Peter King, his favorite play, the one that's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, was his game plan when he was the defensive coordinator of the Giants against the Bills in the Super Bowl. That is in the Hall of Fame. It is apparently his favorite game plan of all time. Why not bring it full circle? Bring the hoodie back to East Rutherford. It's perfect. It's kismet. And just think of it. Brian Daboll, young hoodie. Bill, old hoodie. It just sells itself.
Wow.
I don't know why we're even talking about the Commanders, etc.
I can't believe people haven't picked up on that, but you always approach it from a unique perspective. Could it happen? No, but I like that idea.
No. No way. But, you know, as soon as Martindale resigned yesterday, I'm like, you know.
Right.
I mean, according to half of the Football Insiders, Vrabel is already coaching the Patriots next year, so why not move on?
Well, and if he could bring his sons with him to Jersey, I think maybe that would happen.
Well, I think the hairstyles would fit in a lot better in Jersey, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's like literally our thing. All right, let's talk about wine. I don't know what I'm talking about in football, but just as evidenced by how I came out in my fantasy league this year.
Oh, dear.
Certainly am not the guy to listen to, but I do know wine. Let's talk about wine. New year, this is when we sort of, you know, again, start talking about the basics, and so this is the day that I sort of talk about my favorite misconceptions about wine and try to clear some of these up. And it's always kind of fun because as long as I've been in the business, so many of these still exist, and no matter what trends are out there, no matter how much press this or that gets, obviously, you know, people. You know, it's like Barnum, you know, a sucker's born every minute. They'll believe anything. So I'm going to make you believe this. Let's start with really basic, because I do talk about this a lot, and I just hired a new gentleman at the store, by the way, in case anybody goes into the store and sees someone and they call themselves Eric and it doesn't look like me. It's not a mistake. We have a new Eric at the store. Wonderful guy. Worked down in Bar Harbor for years, in case you happen to recognize him from there. But I do like to tell this to, you know, people. I never had a wine I liked. Great misconception. I don't like wine. Well, you might. You just might not have had wines that are any good. If you've only been trying wines, maybe at wedding receptions, or at, you know, people's, you know, holiday parties where they absolutely, you know, just swung by the local supermarket and picked the lowest shelf wine. Yeah, maybe you don't. But I would encourage anyone who thinks that they don't like wine, if they've had bad experiences with wine, didn't taste good, please don't give up on it. Wine, this is a made-up word, but I'll use it anyway. Drinkership is actually down worldwide. A lot of the younger generations are going with these ready-to-drink cocktails. Of course, spirits have risen in popularity, although cognac is like down 25%, which is just crazy to think. But interestingly enough, again, sort of a beverage that's viewed as sort of stodgy and old world as opposed to new and hip. And places like Remy Martin, a huge cognac house, have just announced that they're, you know, really trying to reinvigorate their efforts to appeal to people, because cognac, which is aged grape brandy, is delicious and wonderful, but just it doesn't seem to appeal. So if you think that you don't like wine, you don't like cognac, or you don't like other things like that, don't be afraid to reapproach it in the new year. Go to people who know what they're talking about. Other things that I love to dispel. White wine and wine in general. This is about aging wine, because a lot of people have come to me about starting wine collections. Number one, age improves all wine. No. 96-97% of all wines are made to drink today. And that doesn't mean today. It doesn't mean in 3 weeks. But it means they're not necessarily meant to go 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Most wines are made by people who understand that those corks or screw caps, which we'll get to in a second, are going to be, you know, undone, and the wine poured in the near future. And there are ways that you, in the cellar, you know, plan to have wines that are age-worthy and or that they're not. So don't plan on necessarily aging something unless you've sort of, you know, talked to your favorite wine merchant and said, is this something that you can lay down? And the other thing that I always like to go along with that is, if you are interested in aging wines, the common misconception that white wine does not age. In point of fact, white wine is probably far more age-worthy than a lot of red wine, just in the fact that the white wines that are more age-worthy are very high in acidity, and also usually will also have some residual sugar, which also helps it age. Of course, I commonly point to Rieslings. But there are other white wines that can age quite beautifully, including things that you wouldn't think, like Sauvignon Blancs, things like that. So don't necessarily sell a white wine short for age-worthiness just because it is white wine. Other things I always like to get out, cooking. Cook with cooking wine, because that's why it exists, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's why it exists, but it's also terrible. always... There's a lot of things that exist that shouldn't. Cook with a wine that you would be willing to put in a glass and put in your mouth otherwise. It doesn't mean cook with expensive wine. In fact, don't. And one of the things that we'll get to in a little, you know, a couple weeks is cooking with wines and things like that. And I always like to remind people that that a lot of the wine, the known wines, the named wines that you know of, your Sauternes, your Burgundies, your things like that, they were not quite what we know them as today in proper nomenclature back when Julia Child was cooking, back when, you know, the Varian cookbooks that we all have lining our shelves were written. Those things were written when there was a lot of sort of fake substitutes on the market, and people were just trying to get across the idea that you're trying to use a light-bodied red or a sweet white or things like that. So always ask, and don't ever cook with cooking wine, but don't necessarily feel like you need to cook with expensive wine. I mentioned screw caps. Screw caps equals bad wine. Not even close. And more and more you are seeing alternate forms of closure, and my advice now as the same as it was, you know, 20 years ago, get over it. Germans, Austrians, and now pretty much everyone around the globe is realizing that A, cork, like real cork, has, you know, 5 to 10% of it is tainted with a cork taint, also known as trichloroanisole or TCA. And there's a lot of other ways, and you risk losing some of your product if it gets corked. Or you risk losing none of your product if you close it up with something that's not capable of carrying that particular chemical. Or chemical compound, I should say. Screw caps do not equal bad wine. Fake corks do not equal bad wine. Bad wine equals bad wine, and that's it. How am I doing on time, sir?
You have got roughly 1 minute left.
1 minute. Okay, the last one. Red wine gives me headaches. No, it doesn't.
No.
Sulfites give me headaches. No, they don't. I only drink organic wine because it doesn't have any sulfites. All these things. There's a lot of myths around what gives you headaches, what doesn't. My quick advice is talk to your favorite wine merchant, because it could be histamines on the grape skins. It could be that you actually are allergic to sulfites. It could mean all these things. But people who actually have looked into this, like myself, can help you find wines that you actually will be able to drink, I promise. Or not, but if not, then I will apologize and say, okay, you are one of the very tiny percent that can't do this. But I hate people not drinking great wines because they've written it off because of false myths. That all said, it's wonderful to talk to you guys again in the new year. Next week, we will talk about how to taste wine and get into that. And good luck, everybody, with whatever the heck happens tonight. And by the way, we at BWC, I'm talking too fast, may be delayed opening tomorrow, depending on what happens. But, of course, now that you all know that you're burdened with your children for the duration tomorrow, it might not matter. So, anyway, be well. Or you might need wine.
Yes.
Whatever.
Well, hunker down well, and we'll chat with you next week.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Eric. Eric Mahon, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle, here on Downtown.